This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord, that we might continue to see you at work, so that the peace you promise us might be ours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. My daughter has gotten into Shakespeare in her theatrical studies, and it has returned me to my own sort of fun desire with looking into his plays. And my favorite play of Shakespeare has always been King Lear. And if you're not familiar with it, it tells the story of this king who has three daughters, Goneril, Regan, and Cordelia. And he ends up dividing up his kingdom, but he sort of gets on the outs with his favorite youngest daughter, Cordelia, and his older two daughters do him wrong, and it truly is a tragedy of a play. And towards the end of the play, Lear, who is this broken-hearted and broken completely man, is with his daughter Cordelia, with whom he is now reconciled. And both of them are just shot. And he says to her these lines: "We two alone will sing like birds in the cage. When thou dost ask me a blessing, I'll kneel down and ask of thee forgiveness, so we'll live and pray and sing, and tell old tales and laugh at gilded butterflies, and hear poor rogues talk of court news, and we'll talk with them too, who loses and who wins, who's in, who's out. And take upon us the mystery of things, as if we were God's spies." To take upon the mystery of things as if we were God's spies. There is some incredible wisdom for us who are on the Christian journey to think about our lives in that perspective, as if we were God's spies. There's a great French philosopher by the name of Simone Weil, who writes some words almost as if she is commenting on this, suggesting that perhaps the way that we are supposed to be looking at things is to sort of share in God's gaze. The real aim, she writes, is not to see God in all things. It is that God, through us, should see the things that we see. God has got to be on the side of the subject. We are God's spies. When we were going through the wonderful series we just did on Vanishing Grace, in one of our gatherings, somebody reminded me of a line, and I don't know who gets credit for it, but it brings this same point home. That God never meant us to all be lawyers. No offense to lawyers in the congregation. But we were not all meant to be lawyers. We were all meant to be witnesses. And we hear that in the reading from Acts today, and we hear it in the gospel today. We're just called to say what we're seeing. I go back to that story, the blind man that Jesus healed, and he gets that interrogation, and he basically says, "Look, here's the deal. I couldn't see. Jesus put mud on my eyes. Now I can see. Now you make your own conclusions." He didn't say that, but he might as well have. It should be the same for us. You know, that psalm that we read, I love that skeptical line that's in there. Many are saying, "Oh, that we might see better times." Well, I got news for you. These are the better times. We are gifted with a risen Lord living in each of us. And it becomes our goal not to change the world other than just to say what we're seeing. I'm sure sometime in your life you have had the opportunity to see an accident take place. And you have to do that police report, and they ask you, okay, what did you see? Which car was coming from where? Who ran the red light? Who did this? And you tell them exactly what you saw. And if you've ever seen the resulting police report of what all the people who saw the accident say took place, you would think that they didn't see the same accident. Because everybody has their own perspective, their own read on what took place. And then it becomes the job of the police department, and if it ends up going to trial in a court of law, for the jury to figure out what actually happened. That's our experience. That's what happens. Now, take that over into resurrection of Jesus. You know, skeptics say, well, the resurrection isn't true because there's so many inconsistencies in the scriptures about it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and even in the references in Paul's writings and in John's epistles to it, they don't have the same story. So therefore, the resurrection is made up. Well, when you think about our experience, it's just the opposite. Because just like the example of a car accident, everybody has their own take on things. When you think about it, if they were making up the story of the resurrection, they would have done like criminals do before they get interrogated. Okay, you're going to say that your alibi was this, and we're going to stick to this story, and we're all going to have the same story. Well, they didn't do that with the resurrection, did they? It's just like we experience in life. They all had their own experience of it. And it's an incredible experience. You want to talk about being a witness? Well, look at what the scriptures tell us. Every single time of what scripture scholars tell us, were probably 12 total resurrection appearances of Jesus before he ascended back to heaven. Every single time, he comes to people to bring them what they need. He comes so that they can believe. We've been going through some of these. We heard the first one on Easter Sunday. Mary comes to the tomb and she doesn't recognize him. She thinks he's the gardener. And what does Jesus do? He calls her by name. He gives her what she needs. Then later that night, those disciples are just so depressed. We thought he was the one as they walk on the road to Emmaus. And he appears to them. And he breaks open the word and restores their hope. And then when they break bread together, they recognize. And he gives them what they need. That's the story immediately before what we pick up in Luke's gospel today. What does Jesus do in this gospel? Same thing. Peace to you. And we hear so many of those words of being confused, frightened, terrorized. And Jesus consistently is giving them what they need, explaining the scriptures to them, touching not only their minds and their hearts to understand, I'm alive. I am here. We heard it last week with Thomas. Thomas, what do you need? Need to touch the hands? Need to touch the side? I'm here. You talk about a witness testifying to what's going on. So it's the same for us. It's the same that we hear about in Acts today. This is a great story for those who were just on the pilgrimage to the Holy Land because it takes place in something that we just visited last month. This is a map that shows the different gates to the walled city of Jerusalem, and over on the right is where the Temple Mount and the temple were. And over on the right is something called the Eastern Gate. otherwise known by most scripture scholars as what is the beautiful gate. If you look at the next slide, you see another idea of it called the beautiful gate. And there's some arguments that scripture scholars have as to whether or not the beautiful gate that's referred to in this story from Acts was that external wall or the internal one. If we go to the next slide, you can see this is a model building of what the temple might have looked like, and that external gate, also known as the beautiful gate, and then the internal one as well. The problem was, for those people, they wouldn't have been allowed, especially the lame man who was healed, to enter into the inner court. So most of them conclude that that beautiful gate was the external one. And if we go to the next slide, especially our people who are on pilgrimage will recognize this viewpoint. And you look at that wall of Jerusalem over on the right, there is the beautiful gate. Go to the next slide, you see a close-up of it. Now it's walled up now, because when Jerusalem came under Muslim control, there was a belief in the scriptures in the Old Testament that when the Messiah came, that's where the Messiah would enter into Jerusalem. And so when they took over control of Jerusalem, they walled it up. No Messiah coming in these walls. Why is this important? Why do I mention it? Remember the story in Luke when Jesus is getting ready to come into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and he cries over Jerusalem. This is the view, this is what he was looking at. And in Luke's gospel, when he is looking at this view, he says, as he came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." The things that make for peace that he brings. Do you know where those apostles were when they healed that lame man? The beautiful gate, Acts 3 tells us. They were being witnesses of these things. The book of Acts, you know, we're going to hear the story of Pentecost in a couple of weeks. Holy Spirit descends upon them, and then Peter gives this long sermon, a lot longer than I preach, and 3,000 people are baptized as a result. He goes right from that into this story that we just heard. And there is this lame man that is healed. And he proclaims, just like the one that Jesus gave sight to, about this is just what happened. "Neither silver or gold have we," says the apostles, "but in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, be healed." And he gets up and he walks. And in the next chapter of Acts, the apostles are arrested, arraigned before the authorities. And what do? They testify. Why are you surprised about this? It's not us. It is the power of the resurrected Christ that has brought healing. So it becomes for us very simple. We looked last week at moving from doubt to faith. Well, how do we help each other to do that? Well, we just tell each other what we're seeing. You wouldn't be here this morning unless there was something that's going on in your life that tells you that in some way, God is alive. That the resurrected Christ is alive and you've experienced it in some way. That's why we gather each week, because it's important for us. When I'm having a hard time believing, it is your story that helps me believe. When you're having a hard time believing, it is my story that helps you believe. We are witnesses to these things. What a gift we've been given. May we be willing to continue to share it and continue to be God's spies. Amen.